Lord, as we start this new chapter, the chapter, you know, lesson three, Lord, I pray that you will go ahead of us, God. I pray that against any hindrances, Lord, that would want to block what you're doing in this time, Lord, I pray that your people will be released in power, Lord God, that they would move in new levels and in new measures, God. Lord, they would not operate at a diminished level, God, but they would operate at the level that you have for them, Lord God, that they will not be afraid of the supernatural reality, but they will be filled with love. They will not be filled with fear, God. But I pray that you will fill them with confidence and with boldness to stand before the throne room of heaven daily, God. Father, we give you praises and honor for all that you are doing and all that you will continue to do in this group. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So in the last few weeks, we've been going through this pretty much most of this month. I just wanted to hear from you guys just what you've been learning, what God's been speaking to you, and we'll jump into our lesson today. I know I've heard some good things, people getting a chance to pray with each other, you know, things like that. You know, I think that's been a good That's been good that there's community being formed out of the class. I think that's a wonderful thing. So, please feel free to share with us and what the Lord is speaking to you. So. Yes. Did you leave what? I didn't see your Bible. I know you left your juice at my house. I don't know. I'll look for it. I mean, I didn't see any Bible, but I can look for it. Yeah. Yeah, it might be here. I mean, it might be here. I mean, I wouldn't put it past it being here. I mean, it could be very much here, so. Okay. Yeah, maybe you need to clean up your room. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Maybe it's time to clean up the room. Much love. Okay. Yeah, I can hear her. I mean, I can hear her. She hears us, this thing. Tell her to, if you're hearing me, just drop off and call back in. Yeah, tell her to do that. Okay, she just left. Okay, I will invite her in. Actually, I'll invite her back in. Okay. I don't know. This technology thing, man, it's just, oh. Come on, get it together, people. They won't give you a job. Can you hear me now? Yes, we can. No. Don't play. Y'all don't be playing like that. Okay. All right, he wants to cut in. Okay, give me a sec. All right. All So lesson three, spiritual warfare. What we've been talking about for the last few weeks has been this whole supernatural. We've looked at foundational principles. We've looked at framing evil, pain, and suffering. Now we're looking at spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is an interesting, because when people think about supernatural, the first thing that comes to their mind is what? Spiritual warfare. But the supernatural is a lot more bigger than just the super spiritual warfare. The supernatural just basically means higher or bigger or higher than or bigger than the natural. So it pretty much means a different reality from the natural reality that you and I know. That's what the supernatural means. Meaning that there's a reality that supersedes the natural reality of what we could perceive through our senses. So when we're looking at the topic of the supernatural, that's how we want to kind of start. It is the world that exists that we cannot see. It is the world that we cannot see with our eyes. That's another way to define it, okay? So supernatural, when we talk about supernatural, one of the things that come about is the concept of spiritual warfare. When we hear the word spiritual, which means spirit, spiritual means we cannot see with our eyes, and warfare means is battle, okay? Automatically, when we hear the word spiritual warfare, we automatically associate with that particular picture. For those of you guys that are following me, I'm teaching from the PowerPoint. Your Word document is a little bit different, but it still kind of tracks in the same pattern, okay? It's still going to cover the same topics and same question in similar sequence, okay? So I'm looking at slide number 4 in lesson 3. And lesson 3 is divided into two. I'm going to spend most of the time covering lesson 3 today, and then I'm going to cover part of lesson 3 next week, and then we're going to jump into spiritual authority next week as well, okay? So let's quickly go into this. Spiritual warfare, I put a question mark to it in slide 4. Simply defined, spiritual warfare is the cosmic battle between the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness, but it is important to note that God has already won the war. Why did I use the word war and battle? Battles and war are similar, not the same. War consists of a series of battles, okay? So when you fight wars, there are a series of battles that you have to fight in order to win what? A war. And so what we understand is that we are in the middle of a war. We are in the middle of a battle. And in the picture is that until Christ comes, there are battles that we must fight, right? For the kingdom of God, there are battles that we're called to fight in this war, right? That is ultimately already decided by Christ. When Christ went to the cross and he died and he resurrected, scripture says that all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. That all powers have been defeated by Christ as he went to the cross. So the final victory we know is already won by what? By Christ. It's very important when we fight in spiritual warfare that we have that understanding that the victory has already been won. It's already decided, right? But we still must fight the battles that we must fight until that eventuality becomes a reality. So it's important. I used this picture one time. I said, imagine for a second you are imagine a football match, in the Super Bowl when the Baltimore. This is American football, by the way. You had who was playing the what's the team? Denver. Denver played Seattle, and the game was a complete blowout. And it just looked like, you know, it looked pretty much by the third quarter, it just looked like there's no way the Broncos is going to come back. They were losing really bad in that game. And really, by the fourth quarter, we knew who was going to win that game because mathematically, it was impossible for the other team to win the game. But the Broncos still try to go down the field and score. Now, you could see there that there were a series of engagements on the field, but ultimately, no matter how much points the other team tries to score, the game is already decided. And it's the same thing here when it comes to spiritual warfare. There are battles that we're fighting, but ultimately, the battle has been decided. See, the devil came late to the party. He came late to the game. And so it's important for us when we think about spiritual warfare to understand that the war is already won by Jesus. So that when we fight with what? With confidence. I don't need to be afraid of the devil. I really don't need to be afraid of the devil. Now, the devil can bluff. Doesn't mean that the devil can't still try to hurt you. Like, because the game, because the clock is still running, he's still going to want to take cheap shots. The devil also understands that he has lost the battle, but that's not going to make him stop from trying to take cheap shots at us. And when we look at spiritual warfare, that's how we have to look at it. To understand that these wars have to go on, but at the same time, God wants us to understand that we have won the battle. Let me read this quote. The nature of the enemy's war in your life is to cause you to become discouraged, to cast away your confidence. Not you would necessarily describe your salvation, but you could give up your hope of God's deliverance. The enemy wants to numb you into coping, to a coping kind of Christianity that has given up hope of seeing God's resurrection power. That's what the devil wants us to act like. The devil wants us to act in a way where we were not living to the capacity of the resurrection power of Jesus. It's important that we have won the battle. It's important that we understand that the war has been won. And now when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that he has the power over life and what? And death. Extremely important. Okay? That's a good place to start when we look at spiritual warfare. Many times in the past, we begin to think, oh my God, honey, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. And God is saying to us, no, like, we should have the right perspective on what this is really about. Okay? Now, the next slide is slide 5. So you can go on to slide 5. And it says, key point in spiritual warfare. So we're going to go through this point really quickly. First, prayer, the quote from E.M. Bonds. Prayer breaks all bars, dissolves all chains, opens all prisons, and widens all straits by which God's saints have been held. And this is so important. That when we pray, when we contend in prayer, that chains are broken from our lives. One of the primary keys of spiritual warfare is what? Prayer. Here, I define spiritual warfare again in this slide, but I define it from the perspective of prayer. I said, spiritual warfare, and if you're looking in your notes, you're going to see this as well. Spiritual warfare can be defined as contending through fervent, spirit-filled prayer to free people and regions from the power of darkness in order for the glory of God's kingdom to expand on the earth. One, the main primary purpose of God's kingdom on the earth is that his glory, he wants his glory to be felt by all mankind. And spiritual warfare is contending again fervently, strongly in prayer, not weak prayers, but spirit-filled prayers to free people, regions from the power of what? Of darkness. In order for the glory of God to expand on the earth. So when we do spiritual warfare, it's not just for us, but it is for those who are around us as well. When you gain victory over the devil in your life, guess what you're also doing? You are also expanding God's light and God's kingdom and God's dominion in your life, in your family, and in the area that you live in. The more people that are free, the more the kingdom of God expands. But God does not want us to live at a diminished level. So that's blank there. Blank can be defined. Spiritual warfare can be defined as contending through fervent spirit-filled prayer to free people and regions from the power of darkness in order for the glory of God's kingdom to expand on the earth. In slide 5. Of lesson 3, spiritual warfare, in the PowerPoint presentation. Slide 6, when we share the gospel with the lost, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Jesus came to set the captives free, right? And he frees people as we speak the truth. Jesus says, and when you hear the truth, and the truth shall what? Set you free. So you shall know the truth. Sorry, that's the right quotation. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus. Jesus is the spirit of truth. When you know Jesus, when people get to know Jesus, they are set free, right? So when we share the gospel, when we pray, people are set free. That in and of itself is spiritual warfare. Remember the definition I gave to you guys earlier? That spiritual warfare in slide 4, spiritual warfare can simply be defined as the cosmic battle between the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. It is very true to remember that. Very important. This is a quote that I gave to you guys in slide 6. When we share the gospel with the lost, we are engaging in spiritual warfare. Jesus came to set the captives free. He frees people as we speak the truth of the gospel. Spiritual warfare, then I go on to say here, spiritual warfare is not only waged through prayer, but also through what? Evangelism. I would even go on to tell you guys this. Spiritual warfare is waged every time that you are used by God. Spiritual warfare is fought and won when we obey God, when we submit our lives in total surrender. Your whole life, your whole spiritual life, you have to understand there's a war going on. There is a war going on over your destiny. And the more you turn to God, the more you obey him, the more God is honored, and the more his purposes are fulfilled on the earth. Okay. Slide 7. Now I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty here. Again, we're continuing on key point in spiritual warfare. Now, if you're looking to your notes, you're going to see this, so you can just follow along with me in the notes as well. For those of you who have your notes, you're going to see in page, you're going to see on the first page of our lesson, I go a little bit deep into some of these key points. First, if you go back into our slide, we're in slide 7 and page 1 of our notes. There is blank in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let's look at John chapter 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19. And I'm going to open to John 20, 19 for us today. John 20, 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Okay, in there, the slide says power, but the answer there, the blank there is peace in the presence of Jesus. Scripture says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So the blank there is peace in the presence of Jesus Christ. Let's read the next one. 2 Kings. This is important. As we look at spiritual warfare, it's important to understand that there is peace in the presence of Jesus. When you want to engage in spiritual warfare, you must be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must operate out of that position. Because when you operate out of that position, then there isn't any room for fear. There's no room for fear. The next blank. There are multitude of. That blank there should say angels ready. That's kind of missing there. Angels ready to war for us. There are multiple of angels ready to war for us. That's the blank there. Multiples of angels ready to war for us. 2 Kings 6, verses 14 to 17. And if someone has that, go ahead and read it and just unmute yourself and read it for me. I'm painting a picture for you guys. You're going to see something. Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Second Kings.
So, and there were what? Chariots of what? Okay. So, when he looked, he saw chariots. Give me all the things that he saw. A chariot of fire. All around Elisha. You know, isn't that funny? Go ahead and mute yourself back. When you look at that particular story, you know, here is Elisha who had worked with Elijah, and he had seen Elijah carried away in a chariot of fire. And here is this battle, and this young man that was with Elisha is afraid. He's really afraid because he's thinking, how in the world are we going to defeat these people? They're numerous. We're only a few. And God told him to open his eyes and to see what was around him. Many times we are not aware of what is around us. In spiritual warfare, it's important for us to understand that it is not us that is fighting against these things in the spiritual realm. Our prayers only activate God's heart for his kingdom here on earth. Not that God needs us, but God likes to partner with us for whatever reason that is. And it's important for us to understand that we've been talking about angels in the last few lessons. And that the picture that we see here actually is not just some random chariots, but those were angels ready to go to war. On chariots of fire, ready to go to battle for the children of Israel. And that's the same thing that happens with us, that there are numerous angels that are fighting sometimes over our destinies, that are fighting over our cities, that are fighting over our ministries, that are saying, let the kingdom of God come and be revealed in this place. But many times we cannot see with our eyes, but that does not mean that those things do not exist. See, the reality of what we cannot see with our eyes, man, supersedes with the reality of what we can see with our eyes, because what you cannot see with your eyes, the unseen controls the seen world. There were numerous angels. And isn't that funny though that I started out, I said that John 20 verse 19, Jesus says to them, say, be at peace, I'm with you. That's the first position. When we first understand that God has won the battle, that he has won the victory, he has the victory in his hands, that he has power over life and death, that he has power. He said, scripture says in Corinthians, said, grave, where is that sting? Death, where is thy victory? Where is it? I think it's vice versa, actually. But the point being, death and the grave has no power over us. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of the one that can kill our body or the one that can take our soul? God has control over everything. So when we start from the position of peace, be at peace, for I am with you. And then he goes on to show us that in the battle, there are numerous angels, messengers from God that are willing, that are standing in the wings, ready to fight on our behalf. Literally, there are people, there are angels that are ready to fight on behalf of Onela. There are angels that are ready to fight on behalf of Funi. There are angels that are willing to, ready and they're waiting in the wings to fight over the God's destiny for our city. If we can only have a grasp and an understanding of this reality, we will pray differently. We will pray differently. As we look there are multiple angels that are ready to fight for us. The third point, or the next bullet point, is our struggle of fight is not against natural forces. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. It says, "For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly what? Places." So our fight is not what? Against flesh and blood, which means it's not, people sometimes think, when we look in the net, we see what's happening with Islamic terrorists. We see what's happening around the world today with some of these things and some of the violence, you know, that we're seeing in the world. And people think, well, if we can go and destroy these people, then somehow we'll destroy. But it seems like the more we put more of them in jail, the more they want to blow us up. Why is that? Because what inspires these men and women to want to commit acts of violence is so much more. It's a spiritual thing. If we want to see the Muslim world not come after us and want to kill us, you know, and I'm not saying all Muslims are violent. I'm not trying to generalize Muslims into that category. But I'm saying, if you don't want to see extremists coming after us and trying to destroy us, we have to understand there is a spiritual battle. There's a spirit of violence and of death that is upon these men that are willing to kill and maim just for the heck of it, because they can. And we have to understand our battle is not in the natural. When people are coming against you, when people are antagonizing you at work, when people are antagonizing you for the gospel's sake, when people are making fun of you for the stance that you take for God, understand that that battle is not natural. It's not just them saying those things to you. Yes, they are culpable and responsible for opening themselves up to be used of the enemy. But at the same time, understand what is behind that. Many times we spend our time fighting the wrong battle, not understanding that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against what? Powers. Against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces and wickedness in high places. He didn't say low places, he said high places. That gives us a picture. I'm going to speak about territorial spirits that at times we don't understand. We're bumping against things in the region that we live in, and we don't understand our authority, and we don't understand how we're supposed to position ourselves. But God wants to give us the power and the authority today to be able to take the stance that we must take. First, we must remember that we must, in the presence of God, there is peace. Remember as well that there are numerous angels that are warring, that are willing and are ready to go to fight on our behalf. And then we have to understand that our fight is not a natural fight. When I begin to run into difficulties around me, I realize that the obstacles that I'm facing is typically not in the natural. It's spiritual in nature. It doesn't mean that every problem is spiritual in nature, but there are a lot of issues that we face in our lives, especially when you pray, it doesn't go away. When you try to correct this, you try to correct that, it seems like it's not going away. Maybe it's spiritual in nature. Maybe I need to begin to look at it and say, man, my battle is not of this world, but it's of a spiritual nature. I talked about this before in the first class. Our worldviews, the Western worldview never sees a place where the supernatural mixes with the natural world. But for those of us who come from other cultures, who believe that there is a connection between the natural, you know, that believe there's a connection between the natural world and the supernatural world, we quickly realize that, man, there is a battle, there is a fight that is going on that I need to be aware of. And that's an important thing for us to take in and to understand. Now, I'm going to go to the next point. The access to the throne room of heaven is worship. The access into the throne room of heaven is what? Worship. I'm about to segue into my next slide, which is slide 18. Slide 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 4. Revelations 8, verse 3 to 4. We first started here in this slide, slide 7. We said that peace, in the presence of Christ, there is peace. We've said to you that there are multiple angels waiting in the wings to fight on our behalf. Now, we are going to also understand that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Okay? And then, here, we say the access to the throne room of heaven is worship. Why is that important? Why is that important? Actually, let me flip to it. I'm gonna make a point correction right there. The access to the throne room of heaven is actually prayer. Prayer should be the blank there, not worship. I'm jumping ahead of myself. There's something I'm gonna talk about with worship later on in next week. So go ahead in there and correct that and make that prayer. The access into the throne room of heaven is prayer. Prayer. Okay, let me go into this really cool. Revelations 8, verses 3 through 4. And an angel came and stood at the altar holding a golden censer. And before much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints of the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And so we see here that prayer of the saints goes up to God. It's like a fresh fragrance that opens up God to our prayers. It's like our prayers, they're like fragrance to God. It gets God's attention. It's like a smoke of incense with the prayers of the saint that went on before God out of the hand. So those incense, they go up to God. It's like a fragrance before the Lord when we pray. And as we pray and we couple our prayer with worship, and that's what I want to talk about. Prayer that is coupled with worship. Because when you see, prayer gives you access. This is very important. I'm going to say something to you right now. In spiritual warfare, your prayer is going to give you access into the throne room of heaven. And as you pray and you contend, what begins to happen is in the throne room, you begin to also begin to worship. Prayer gives you access into the throne room of heaven. But then when you get into the throne room of heaven, what you should begin to do is worship God. See, prayer gives us access, but sometimes many of us don't know when to stop. We just keep on praying and babbling. And God says, now begin to worship me. Begin to praise me. Because worship is the culture of heaven. Prayer gets God's attention. Worship is what that's what he inhabits. That's what he lives in. He lives in the praises of his people. So it's important for us to have that understanding when it comes to spiritual warfare. I'm going to give you two more points that is not on this slide that I'm going to add to this slide later for you guys, because I'm going to send this slide again to everyone. I'm going to add this point to this today for you guys to kind of give you even a deeper understanding of how this works. As you're saying, as you're sitting there, you're looking at the access to the throne room of heaven is prayer. I also have one other point for you guys today, and this is this. There is a linking of heaven on earth. There is a link between the heavens and the earth. See, people don't understand that. God wants his kingdom to be established here on earth. That's his heart. At all times, God seeks that his kingdom invades earth. And when we understand that, we can serve as conduits. People that want to see the kingdom come on earth. So I want to give you that. So write that down. There is a linking of heaven on earth. An example of that is Jacob and the ladder. Genesis 28 verses 10 to 14. And in that picture, you know what happened? In Genesis 28, 10 to 14, Jacob is sleeping and he gets a visitation and he sees a ladder that was ascending. It's a ladder that came down from heaven to where he was sleeping. And angels were ascending and descending. Angels was ascending and descending. And he shows you that many times. That even more than we know, God is constantly trying to invade and always invading this earth realm. And if we can only tap into what God is doing, if we can only connect to that in prayer, man, what great and wonderful things could we experience and see in God? Genesis 28, verses 10 through 14. It says, and Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and slept there, spent the night there. And because of the sun had set, he took up the stones of his of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream. And behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and behold, angels of God were ascending and descending, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of father of the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you, to your descendants. And your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out of the west to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you, in the descendants and all families of the earth will be blessed. And here you see God again constantly wanting to pierce through the heavens to the earth. Constantly. So there is a linking. Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't want to connect to us here on earth. Don't let anybody tell you that we're so far removed from him. God is constantly seeking a way to bridge that gap and to reach mankind. That's why he sent his son 2,000 years ago.
May God open our eyes to see the connections between the heavens and the earth. Now, let us look really quickly at spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. I think I spoke to you guys about this before. There are three heavens. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 1 through 4.
talk about Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 19, and Daniel 10. The first heaven, this is the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. The second heaven, this is the outermost space where the devil and the angels live. Where the devil and his angels live. And this is where most spiritual warfare takes place. We see that in the example in Genesis 10 as the prince of Persia and the prince of Greece are holding the angel that is bringing a message to Daniel. And there's an exchange where Michael, the archangel Michael, had to come to free this angel so that this angel can deliver the message to Daniel. The third heaven, this is the throne room of God. This is what we typically call heaven as believers. This is where God resides. Even though God is omnipresent, right? God is everywhere, but at the same time, God resides in his throne room. The angels and the living creatures, the patriarchs and the saints also live there. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4 gives us the picture of the third heaven. Paul says, I saw a new man 14 years earlier that was caught up into the third heaven. And that's why we know that the third heaven is paradise. It is heaven. It's a throne room of God. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 also gives us this picture. Now, for those of you guys still following me, I am on slide 8, talking about spiritual warfare in the heavenlies. The next slide, the next bullet point says, spiritual warfare is a blank even after prayer has been answered. Spiritual warfare is a constant battle. Even after our prayers have been answered, there is not a time where until Jesus comes back and the devil is judged, ultimately, spiritual warfare is going to continue. Because as long as the clock is ticking, the devil and his cronies are not going to stop from trying to hinder God's purposes. Even though it's a losing battle, we have to understand the nature of this battle. The nature of this battle. The next bullet point there is, when the kingdom of God invades, spiritual impediment of the second heaven becomes lessened and the kingdom of God becomes a reality on the earth. Let me unpack that for you. Open with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse. I'm bringing it home now. I'm going to show you guys a picture, as you guys can see in my presentation. Matthew chapter 6. Manella, can you go ahead and read verse 10 for me? Go ahead and read from verse 9 and read it again. Verse 9 to 10. Amen. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The Holy Spirit. If you didn't know what that is, again, I'm going to give it out to you. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and what? And joy. So when Jesus says, let thy kingdom come, right, it's a hallowed be thy name. thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is in what? In heaven. See, if we want to see the kingdom of God come, what are we really asking for? We're asking that righteousness, peace, and joy reign in those in every affair of the earth. We are saying that righteousness, peace, and joy should come into our lives. We're saying righteousness and peace and joy should come into our cities. We're saying righteousness and peace and joy should come into where we live, into our families. When we say the kingdom, when we want the kingdom of God to invade, that's what we're really praying. But when Jesus says, let thy kingdom come, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus understood one thing, that in order for the kingdom of God to come, we must first hallow his name. To hallow the name of God is to what? Is to surrender. It is to worship him. It's to lay our lives before him. It's to put him above all else. When God is supreme in our lives, then we can now say, let your kingdom come. What are we really saying when we say, let your kingdom come? We are saying, Lord, what as it is in the third heaven, let it be now in the first heaven. That's what it means. As it is in the what? In the third heaven. Lord, let thy kingdom come as it is in what? Heaven. As it is in the throne room of God. As it is in the heart of God. Let it be now on what? On earth. In Daniel chapter 10, this is what happened. Daniel is praying. And as Daniel is praying, the Bible says that God said to him, since the first time you prayed, I heard your prayers. But when God heard the prayers of Daniel, on the way down, the messenger that was bringing down his message to him, that was bringing the answer to his prayer, was hindered in the second heaven. See, this is where it gets interesting. Many times we pray prayers and we do not see things happen. And guess what happens to us? We get frustrated. We say, God, where are you? God, you don't care about me. I've been praying. I've been believing you. Why isn't these things happening for me? Why is this not happening for me? Why is that not happening for me? And God is not that God hates us and he wants to take stuff away from us. We just have to understand the battle that we're fighting. You're looking in your city. Maybe you live in upstate New York. You're looking at your city. And you're like, I want God's kingdom to come. I want people to experience God. I want people to get saved. But you're seeing the more you guys are praying, the more Christians are getting together, you're not seeing anything happen. That is because even though you're praying God's heart, you're praying that people will get saved. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to come to repentance. So we know that that's God's heart. For people to come to the Lord. But why are we not seeing more people change? Why are we not seeing more? That's because many times there is a hindrance in the second heaven. What did I say to you before? Spiritual warfare takes place in the what? In the second heaven. As it is shown to us in Daniel chapter 10. In Daniel chapter 10, we see this battle that is going on, this cosmic battle, as this angel is trying to deliver this message to the earth realm to give to Daniel. He's hindered in that realm. And as he's hindered in that realm, it took a greater angel to come. It took Archangel Michael to come and to release that angel so that the message can be what? Be delivered. And many times, there are many battles like that concerning nations, cities, destinies, people's lives, people's destinies, a bunch of stuff that we're not seeing, and that there are hindrances in that realm. And the more we pray and we tarry, God is able to move in that realm. When we pray, we empower the angelic realm. I said last week, we don't pray to angels. We don't pray to angels. We pray to God. And in spiritual warfare, it is not me in the battle. You know, I'm not coming against this and coming against that. No, I stand in the authority of what God has said, and I let God fight his battle. Let us let God fight his battle. That is why I can sit in peace. That is why I can understand, like Elisha said to that young servant, don't be afraid. Look at what is around you. And right, for all of us that are in this class, I'm saying to you today, look around you and see what is around you. Look at the numerous angels that God has made available to us. The messengers that God has around us. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? I'm going to give us a quick second here to ponder on that really quickly. And I'm going to come back and close us out here in the next few minutes. So let's just take a quick break. And I'm going to open it up to... Now we're back from our break. And we're going to look at, just to kind of give you a quick overview again, in slide 8, we looked at the three heavens, as we see in scripture, the first heaven being the earth that we live in here in Genesis. A reference for that is Genesis 1, 14 to 19, and there are many other scriptures in Genesis we can look at. We also looked at second heaven. Here, probably the best description for that is Daniel chapter 10. And then somewhat maybe in a distant reference, maybe not directly, we also see that there are these places that they call the high places, you know, when we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, spiritual powers in high places. So some theologians refer to that also as maybe a reference to the second heaven, another realm that is outside of the earth, but it's not quite heaven. And then the third heaven, we look, that directly is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. There isn't seven heavens. I know there was a show a long time ago called Seven Heaven. There isn't anything called Seven Heaven. So, and there is no purgatory or anything like that. There is heaven and there is hell. And in that regard. But then when we're looking at this in the realm, the earth is considered the first heaven, not because it's heaven, but because in the context of the context of the firmament, the sky above us, the space, the expanse that is around us, that's why we call the earth first heaven. And then obviously the second heaven is the outer space outside of this context in this universe, and a lot of the things that exist that we cannot see with our eyes. And the second heaven begins to get more into, once you leave the first heaven, we're looking at a spiritual thing. It's not so much a physical anymore. It's a realm that we cannot see with our natural eyes. Okay. And then I went on to the bullet point and said, spiritual warfare is a constant battle even after our prayers have been answered. And we can see that in Daniel chapter 10, verse 20. Daniel's prayers were answered, it seemed like there was still an ongoing battle that was still going to take place between the angels and some of these territorial spirits that exist in this place. And then the last point that I made was that even when the kingdom of God invades, the spiritual impediments of the second heaven becomes lessened and the kingdom of God becomes a reality. And that was Matthew 10:9, verse 10. That's why Jesus says, let thy kingdom come,
and let thy will be done on earth. And how does the kingdom of God come? The kingdom of God comes in such, when the kingdom of God comes, it's like not even spiritual any warfare can hold back God's will and purpose. But we have to understand there is a battle that goes on, and that the more that the kingdom of God invades, the more the power of the kingdom of God that is coming down, the more it's easy for those things to permeate into the earth, to happen on the earth realm. When we pray, the reason why we want to see our prayers answer faster is because we don't see our prayers answer faster at times is because there are spiritual impediments. There are fights and battles that are taking place in the spiritual realm. That is why we should pray without ceasing. We should constantly pray. Sometimes God, you know, allows for our prayers to be delayed a little bit, but at times our prayers are delayed because there's a lot of interference. There's a lot of warfare that is blocking our prayers from being answered. And what we need to be doing at that time is continue to appeal to God, right? Not to God, start to swing our spiritual axe and begin to bind things that we don't even know nothing about, but to begin to appeal to God, because God is the one that can ultimately set us free. Now, again, our prayers are like incense to the nostrils of God. Now, let's look at the last thing for this particular lesson. The last slide is slide 9. And I call this spiritual warfare dynamics. And this is going to give you a good picture of what happens in the realm. As you can see in this picture, there's a person praying. Like you see there in green, I said intercessors or worshipers. That's just the average believer praying to God. When we pray to God, what you see there is our prayer shoots up into the third heaven. Our prayer shoots up to what? To the triune God. We're praying to God. We're not praying to men, right? We're not praying to angels. We're praying to God. And Jesus is the mediator between us and the Father. So when we pray to God in the throne room. In God's throne room. So that's the third heaven. And when we pray to God, it's like you're appealing to the higher courts. And as you pray, then God sends his angels and his messengers back down to deliver the message to the earth. So you could see the woman, the individual praying and the city are on the same level. As you can see in the blue bubble, so I'm going from left to right. You start with this individual on their knees praying to God. And as they're appealing to God, and then in the third heaven, God answers their prayers, because as we see in the book of Revelations, that our prayers are like sweet incense to God. And as our prayers get God's attention, then we see a picture of our prayer now God disseminating his angels to fulfill that he has said. He's ministering angels. The angels that will go deliver the message back, or to deliver the package, to deliver this gift back to the earth, or back to the people, or back to the person, or back to the city, or back to that nation. It starts with an individual or a group of individuals that are praying to God. And as they're praying to God, that prayer goes to God, whatever they're praying about. If it's in God's heart and they're praying that to start up with, God hears their prayers and then he sends forth his angels. When he sends forth his angels, then we get a picture of not only is he sending his angels, but then in that realm,
He sends his angels, and many times his angels have to cross through the second heaven to deliver this message to the earth. It's not always easy peasy. Sometimes they have to fight to get across. Right? They have to go through a battle, a process for them to get to this realm. And that's what we call spiritual warfare. And many times, as the angels are coming down to bring, deliver the message, what happens many times is there is a war that happens, right, between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. Territorial spirits or territorial forces or higher level strongholds or high level demons are basically many times they're like archangels in their own right. These are archangels that also fell from heaven. Case in point, when Daniel uses the word prince, prince of Persia, prince of Greece, it's the same word. It's the same. The word prince is the prefix for arch. It's a prefix for the word. It's a form of prefix. Sorry, that's what I mean to say. It's similar to saying the word archangel. It's pretty much prince angel. If you want to use the word prince angel, you can replace interchange prince and arch. And so when he says, he could have easily said, instead of saying the prince of Greece, he could have easily said the archangel, the archdemonic angel. Pretty much he could have said the archdemonic angel of Persia, the archdemonic angel of Greece. He could have easily said any of those things. But which shows you that when the angels were cast out of heaven, the ones that decided to rebel with the devil, there was an interesting thing that happened. Most of them did not lose their ranking. They still had those same ranking. It's just that they were not in heaven anymore. They fell down to the second heaven. Some of them fell to the second heaven, and some of them fell to the earth realm. And so when you look at the fall, and this is going to be important because this is why I laid a foundation earlier to talk about what happens, the demarcations and the levels of angels and the fall of the devil. And when you know that there are seraphims and cherubims. Seraphims are the angels that have six wings that cover their faces, that want to cover their face, want to cover their feet, and want to fly and to worship God, and they say, holy, holy, holy. And seraphims also deliver messages. They're messengers. They're like the ministering angels that come and minister and come and deliver messages to humans. And cherubs are warring angels. They're angels that fight. Typically, they're the ones that you will typically see fighting spiritual battles in the second heaven. This is why it's important to know what we had talked about prior, so that it will give you an understanding of how these things work in this realm. So when a human being prays and asks God, God, I want you to save my brother. I want salvation to come in my city. Lord, I want salvation to come to my brother. I want salvation to come to my city. God says, oh, my daughter, oh, my son, I love that prayer. Okay, I want that to happen. So what he does, he sends his spirit, his angels, that would go and begin to touch and minister to people's heart and make their heart soften. But the issue is, on their way down, many times they will have to fight battles. On their way down to deliver the message, sometimes these angels would need reinforcement to get down to deliver the message that God has for them, has for his people. In this exchange, there are powers that used to be archangels that sit over cities, over nations, that would say this will not happen. We don't want God's kingdom to come and reign on the earth. We don't want God's kingdom to come and reign over, to reign in the first heaven. So we're going to block it. Very similar to what we see with Daniel. And so as we continue to contend in the spirit, what happens is through a life of obedience, through a life of prayer, we empower the angelic realm through our prayers. Because as we pray, it gets God's attention, and God begins to send more reinforcement to give the angels that are delivering the message the opportunity to bring that kingdom reality down to earth. That is why we say tarry in prayer until you see. Many times we pray and we stop. And what happens is, like, imagine you, someone is running and they have this thing and they're trying to break through. And like they have a heavy weight on their shoulders and they're trying to run fast, but they can't really run fast. That's because when we don't pray, sometimes the ministering angels that are supposed to bring this gift to us can't bring it to us because they're way down with the battles that they're fighting. But when we pray, God begins to partner with us. Not that God is not sovereign. God is sovereign and God can do whatever he wants to. But I do believe sometimes, somehow, somewhere along the line, God still wants us to pray. And our prayers do count. I don't know why it is, but it is that way. And because our prayers do count, then the angelic forces are empowered and they are activated. Many times we're praying the wrong prayers. We're coming against this, we're coming against that, instead of appealing to God so that God can send more reinforcement so that the battle can be won on our behalf. If we want our brothers, our sisters to be changed and to be transformed, we want our cities to be changed and be transformed, we want our families to be changed and be transformed, we need to pray more, we need to worship more so that God can send He can send more of himself and send more of it, the angelic forces to come in that realm to bust through so that there will be a reality of what he has in heart for us here on earth. And as you can see in the ray, I said kingdom or glory of God, right? Of glory of God invading. The only way the kingdom of God can invade is if the battle is won in the second heaven. You know the problem is many times we try to go fight in the second heaven and we get ourselves in trouble. Our battle, the Bible says we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And that's a true statement. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But you know how I fight my battles? I fight through God. I look to him. I say, God, it's like this. Some of you guys are lawyers. You know this. Like, if I have a case and the case is being denied in the lower courts, guess what I go? I go to the Supreme Court and try to get a decision. Because I know the Supreme Court has jurisdiction over all courts in the land. The same thing with the throne room of heaven. I do not care what the territorial demons are saying. And saying, we're not going to let you go. Because of this, because we don't know. But when God says it is time, that thing must be broken through. So, spiritual warfare typically happens when there is a clash between territorial spirits in that realm that are blocking God's purpose and the angelic forces that are bringing down the message have to fight the fight to break through so that God's kingdom can be revealed. That's part of the spiritual warfare that most of us will face. But many times of us, we don't even understand. We just don't understand why stuff is not breaking for us. We don't understand. We're not understanding the war that is going on in that realm. And now we see in the red bubble, first heaven under earth. It's earth, humans, ground level strongholds. Now, I speak about territorial spirits. He says spiritual forces in high places in Ephesians. These are forces that are in the air. They're like up in, they're like strong. They're up in the air, but they're also ground level strongholds. In our culture, in African culture, they talk about maritime spirits. You know, it's funny. The maritime spirits are like spirits in water that also can block things from happening for people. And what we call ground level strongholds are typically what we call ground level demons. Usually these demons could try also, they also coordinate their efforts with the territorial spirit in coordination with the devil. So there are really three hierarchies, if you would. There is the devil, there is territorial spirits or powers, and then we have ground level strongholds, as you can see in my bubble, in the red bubble. Ground level strongholds are what we also call ground level demons. These are the demons that are on earth that cause calamity, they cause illness, they cause pain, sometimes they cause suffering. And they ultimately coordinate their efforts with the devil. The Bible says in the book of Luke, it says when Jesus was accused of casting out devils with devils, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "How can a house divided against itself cannot stand?" Meaning that the devil is so coordinated. Why would the devil let someone cast out devils out of someone with a devil? That doesn't work. The devil wants you to be possessed. The devil wants non-believers to be possessed. The devil wants Christians to be oppressed. Again, it's important to note, Christians cannot be possessed of devils, but they can be oppressed of it. And so when we understand that, it gives us this unique picture. It starts with prayer. My prayer goes to God. When God hears my prayer, he sends his angels to deliver the message. Sometimes they have to fight battles. But the more I pray, the more they're empowered. And the more they're empowered, the more the kingdom of God is able to invade and enter into the earth realm. And when the kingdom of God enters into the earth realm, then humans and ground level demons also don't have a place. Demons on the ground level also want to exercise authority. They want to do stuff to you. Not only do you have to fight with what's in the air, but sometimes you have to fight with what's on the ground as well. These are the demons that want to oppress us and put us down. There are demons that want to rob from you even after the message is delivered here on earth. So God answers your prayer and you're still believing the lie of the devil. And the demons on the ground are telling you lies. I mean, you've been fighting. So the warfare that we fight many times has to be fought through Jesus in the throne room. But when we get to the earth realm, once that message is delivered to me, I have authority to speak against those things on the earth realm that would want to stop me. When I deal with the second heaven, I don't go after the second heaven. I deal with the throne room of heaven. When I get to the ground level, when I get to the first heaven, if there are demons that are trying to hold me back at the ground level, demons that are not in the air, but they're like on the ground. I don't mean like ground like the earth, but I mean like they're not territorial spirits, but then you appeal to heaven and you ask God in his name and the authority is given to you that those things do not bother you anymore and they must obey, because they are also in concert with the territorial spirits in the air. But the moment you've gained the victory and the glory of God has invaded your life and your city, you know what? It's really hard for demons on the ground to really have much place to go. They just don't have much place to go. They don't. When Jesus appeared, even territorial spirits were afraid of Jesus.
because they knew a new sheriff was in town. Not only a new sheriff was in town, but the demons, when demons on the ground saw, demons that had possessed people, when they saw Jesus, they would ask Jesus, we don't want any part of you. So, again, we pray. God hears us. Our prayer, we contend in the third heaven. I do not fight. It's not like I'm fighting against demons in the territorial spirits in the second heaven. No, I contend before God in the third heaven, and God begins to operate. And if I'm not seeing the answers to my prayer, I need to continue to pray to God and say, God, I pray that your kingdom would come. Father, I pray that you will send reinforcement. I pray that this message, what you have intended, Lord, will come to pass over my city, over my family, over my brother, over my sister, over my life. So we appeal to heaven. And the first heaven and the second and the first heaven must obey the edict of the third heaven. Again, I repeat, the second heaven and the first heaven must obey what God says in his throne room. But we must have our ears pierced to that realm. And we must never let go. And we must never look back. That is the picture. This is how you do spiritual warfare. We're going to speak more about how the devil attacks, where he attacks, and the weapons that we have to defeat him. And then next week, and then we're going to jump into spiritual authority as well. Okay, I'm done for tonight. You guys can unmute yourself and we will go from there. But let me pray. I know you guys have some questions, but let me pray. And as you unmute yourselves. Go ahead. Go back and unmute yourself, please. Mute yourself again, please. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this time, Lord God, that we have, that we're coming to an understanding, Lord, that we can appeal to your throne room, Lord, that we don't need to be afraid. Father, I know the words and the truth that you've spoken to this people. Lord, I pray that nothing will steal it, Lord. I know there might be words of the accuser. People might listen to this teaching and want to pick at it and try to discredit it. But Father, Lord, you understand when you gave us these words. Father, Lord, this is not coming out of just something we read in a book, but also what we've seen in your word and also what we have experienced, Lord God. But today, Lord, I pray that these people will own this word. Lord, it would work for them. They would war differently, Lord God. They will use your word differently, Lord. They will see themselves differently. They will see themselves, Lord, they will see themselves seated with Christ in heavenly places. Lord, they will not be afraid, but they will understand that they have been called into the third heaven, that you have called them into the throne room and you've given them access. They can call out to you and say, Abba, Father. They don't need to be afraid. They don't need to begin to fight their own battle, but they can fight through you. And I pray that your kingdom would invade every part of their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that your kingdom come as it is in heaven, that it would come as it is in heaven, I pray that it will be on earth. But let your kingdom come and let that will be done as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done as it is in heaven in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.